Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with Maxine's third place finalist, Colleen Somerville. Colleen, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Why, thank you. Very exciting. Thank you, Coach.
I'm so excited to spend some time chatting with you about your experiences with the challenge. But look, Colleen, just a few weeks ago, you found out that not only were you in the top 10, but you came in the top three for the May Maxine Challenge. How has the past couple of weeks been for you?
Surreal, actually. I did not for one second even think that I would hit top 10, let alone top three. So when I got the phone calls, I almost fell off my chair, to be honest. Coach Helen called me while I was at work and I'm like, hello. So I was just so grateful because it's been such a journey for me to... I do it for myself, but it's the icing on the cake to get a phone call to say that you've been recognized for your hard work. And it was just wonderful. I'm just so elated and excited. Yeah, it's unreal. Amazing feeling.
Beautiful. Look, you should be so proud of the achievement that you've made. You know, your transformation is absolutely amazing, and I'm sure we'll touch on it throughout this podcast here. But look, first, Colleen, would you like to start by giving us a little introduction about yourself? Maybe tell us where you're from, what you do for work, and, you know, who is Colleen?
Okay, so I'm originally South African born, so immigrant in Australia, but I've lived here for quite some time. I'm married to an Australian and we have two children. I would call them tweenies by now. And I'm about to turn 45 and yeah, just happily married and live in a small town in Port Stephens in New South Wales, which is a beautiful little town, and yeah, just live a coastal town. I also work. I work at a daycare center. So I work with little babies and I do mostly the administration there. Yeah, it's fun. I keep myself very busy with kids and family and work.
I was going to say that. It sounds like you have a very busy lifestyle. Lots of things going on.
Yeah, they keep me busy.
Colleen, let's talk about why. So my first question is, talking about the May Challenge here, why did you choose to start the May Challenge this year?
I chose to do the May Challenge because I basically just love the Maxines. I've done it a few times and I just love the structure and I love the coaching and I love the plans and the food, and I also love the groups, the support, like the community aspect of it. I find, for me, when I have gone on fitness journeys by myself, an island to myself, I've really gotten nowhere. So I love the support and I love like reading what everyone says and reading what the coaches say. And you just learn so much from not just the coaches, but everyone in the group. I just love it, the environment. I find it a very supportive environment. And I love that it's not just looks focused like some other fitness competitions. I feel it, you know, everyone's welcome here from all ages and all walks of life. And I think that's just wonderful that we're all from all different walks of life welcome to do this challenge, and we just grow and learn and we're able to better our lives. And I love to be fit and healthy. My family doesn't have the best genetic makeup as far as health is. So health has become a focus for me in the past decade, like a real focus. And I just love the system. I love how you guys use real food. And yeah, it's great. I love it. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, Colleen, how many challenges have you done?
I've done, let's say completed. I haven't completed all, but my first challenge was the first one I ever did. Was in 2013, mm-hmm. And I actually saw an ad on television and I was sitting on the couch feeling extremely overweight and frumpy, and I still had a baby that was breastfeeding, and I just was desperate to change something in me. And I saw the ad and I told my husband, I said, I'm going to do that Maxine's thing. What is it? Mm. And I signed up and I had an amazing challenge in 2013. But then sadly, during that competition, I lost my mum, and that really shook me emotionally. I finished the challenge and I looked amazing, but it was a tough journey. And then after that, I attempted a few challenges, but, you know, life happens. And it was an emotional journey for me from then on. And then I moved overseas for a while. So when I came back to Australia, which is probably when I entered the last challenge last year in September. As soon as I got my feedback in Australia, I was like, that's it. I need to find if Maxine still exists. And I found it on Google and I was like, that's it, I'm in. And it's been a great journey since, because I gained a lot of weight while I was traveling. So, and it's been a journey for me to get where I am. You know, it's taken me time. I've come a few surgeries and medical conditions and injury. Yeah, so sometimes it doesn't always happen in one comp. It didn't for me, but I'm still doing this one as well. So I'm doing the next one as well because I just love it. I think it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's so important to grasp where, sure, we can consider the challenge in a pigeonhole. It's like 12 weeks of programming, right? But then when we layer 12 weeks on 12 weeks on 12 weeks, that's when we start to develop skills that we can take on throughout our entire lifestyle. And then it becomes a lifestyle where we go, okay, now I'm training this 12-week block, moving on to the next 12-week block, moving on to the next 12-week block. So my first question,
exactly,
when we think about your journey from that, what was it, the September challenge last year, and then you did the January challenge this year, then now the May challenge. So, you know, three challenges back to back. Can you walk us through your experiences and, you know, in a few words, like describe what the September challenge was like for you? Maybe it was developing habits, and then the January challenge might have been, you know, playing around with injuries and such, and then maybe the May challenge was something else. Like, can you give us a timeline of what each challenge was like for you?
I sure can. So with the September challenge, I joined, but I joined with a real gung-ho attitude, and I think I overdid it. I got great results, but I really was just focused on the end goal, the 12-week goal. And the end of it, which was December, when it finished, I finished. I was like, hey, I look great. It's Christmas. And so I just dropped straight back into old habits. Mm-hmm. So luckily, there's more challenges to try and change your attitude. So then I started listening to some of these podcasts because I didn't like the yo-yo that I have been my whole life, like do something, lose the weight, gain it. And I knew that having watched other challenges, there's a few great people in the group that I could just watch them going and going and improving and improving. And I said, well, what am I missing? And it was my own approach, my own mind. Mm-hmm. And I needed to get my mind in the game and change my approach. So my approach switched from just making it a 12-week thing to, I actually said 2020 is my year. Mm-hmm. So I started the January challenge, but unfortunately I did injure my back. So although I progressed, I couldn't train the way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But I didn't just throw the towel in. I kept with the food. My results weren't as great as I'd hoped, but I didn't revert back to my old eating style. Mm-hmm. And then I felt really great at the start of the May challenge, and then Corona hit. You know, so I just kept going. I was like, well, I'm not quitting. And I remember even messaging you going, I don't have a gym and now I don't have equipment. What can I do? And you're like, I don't know. Have you got sandbags? Or I'm like, oh, I suppose I did. So my husband took our old training bags and we went down to the beach and we just filled it with sand. And I had a small set of dumbbells and some elastics lying around. And we used literally our steps outside as steps. And we have a little brick wall and just trained in the garage and made stuff up. And we just decided that when you switch your mind, and I think when you listen to your podcast too, they're quite helpful. And if you read all the articles, I would recommend everyone read every article. There's so much information in there, and just sit there and absorb what it says, because it is a mental attitude. And I just changed my mind. I changed my mind, and for me, I'll be doing this, you know, I've got a continuation of goals. I'm not quite where I want to be yet. And so I just continue going. It's just, I'm just elated with the last challenge because I could really see how mindset and then putting in the work. And also, here's another thing, not being extreme, just being consistent. I think in the previous challenge, I just went too extreme and I tried to cut calories here and there a little bit, or do an extra set of cardio. And this time I just went, you know, I'm getting injured and exhausted. I'm just going to follow the system. And if it doesn't work, that's not my fault. And it worked. It was great. Like, I could do slightly less than I was doing and actually end up with better results, which I would, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. That narrative is all too common where we feel that, okay, this 12-week, it's like a sprint, right? That's a good analogy. It's a spring where we go, oh, I've got to do as much as I can, as quickly as I can. I've got to go through an extreme diet. I've got to go through extreme training. and, you know, try to get these results as fast as I can. And what ends up happening ultimately is we get sick of it. We get tired, we get fatigued, we get low in energy. And then we get to a point where we A, injure ourselves, B, can't be bothered exercising anymore, or C, we stop following the nutrition plan and we go, screw it, I'm going to have the cookie and a glass of wine.
Because, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, because
I've been all those people.
Exactly. And yeah, more often than not, we go, oh, I'm going to have a salad every single meal. And okay, great. You have a small salad and a tiny bite of some tofu or some chicken or whatever you have. And then you can do that for a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks if you're strong. But then it'll be that tipping point where you go, oh man, that tub of ice cream is just giving me those googly eyes. I mean, I need some, you know?
Exactly.
So it's great that you're learning, like, I guess, understanding that it's a journey, it's a marathon, you know, it's now a lifelong experience. And I guess I just want to touch on when you're saying like mindset, it's all about mindset. And, you know, can you speak a little bit about what you mean by mindset? You know, is it like a thought process like that, you know, in your voice in your head, or is it like an outlook on life? Like, what do you mean by mindset?
It is both. I think that we all need to find our personal value in us as a human, not how we look necessarily. Mm. But then sometimes how healthy we feel and how we look can affect how we feel. So the two are a little bit intertwined. And I actually stopped and thought about where I was going wrong. Like I reflected over December while I was gaining weight, going, what am I doing and where am I going wrong? And I realized that I wasn't clear on what I wanted. Mm-hmm. For one, so I think clarity on what you want as an individual is important. And I knew that for me, having lost both my parents quite young due to preventable illness, what I believe is potentially preventable illness through just being healthy and diet, it was a real wake-up call for me. And I want to be around for a long time for my kids. And so, and also wanted to look good and feel good in my clothes and how I present myself to the world and how I can see myself. So my mind, I changed my mind in how I approached things. I literally listened to books like Atomic Habit, and I just started doing, I listened to podcasts and audiobooks consistently to improve myself, you know. Mm-hmm. I have my faith that I rely on for my identity, and I also just believe that you have to get your mind in the game. So when you look at the 12 weeks, what do you want? Do you just want to win and have starved yourself in doing so, or do you want long-term results? And for me, I switched my mindset, which ended up getting me to the winning goal anyway. You know, three is, you know, I mean, I can't believe that. Like the focus shifted on, okay, I just want to get healthy and fit and follow the system and just listen to what you guys are saying rather than constantly readjusting, because there's so many other sources of information coming at you from the media and other diet sources, do this, do that, eat this fast then. And I just decided to block those out. I literally made a decision, it was a mental decision, that I invested now for 12 weeks. Here I am, I'm going to do this. If after 12 weeks it didn't work, well, then I can criticize or adjust. And I just don't believe that if anyone actually did the 12 weeks and did what you guys said, that they would have any space to criticize or not be happy, because it's real food and it's real exercise. At the end of the day, there's no magic pill. Your mindset, everyone has to work on their mind. I think your mental approach to everything in life is important. And I think that your focus should also be balanced. Like it should be health, and but it should be overall health, like family time, fitness time, food time, joy time, and downtime. You know, I love it all.
Yeah. I think that's so important. Yeah, like looking at health from like all the factors, you know, like let's say emotional health, we've got like financial health, we've got like body health, we've got like mind health, all the different umbrellas of health is something that we really need to compass. And sometimes when we go back to that pigeonhole idea where we go, okay, 12-week challenge, I need to go really extreme, we kind of forget about all the other things. We forget about our sleep, we forget about our relationships, we forget about our family, we forget about social life and everything in between, where that is almost in itself like the definition of a disease, where we go, well, these other areas are now negatively affecting, you know, how I feel, my energy levels and that type of thing. So then when we take this nice balance,
I was going to say it's also about being able to sustain it after the challenge and not to rebound. Because if you do 3 hours of cardio a day on top of a weight session, when the 12 weeks are over, there's no more motive to do it.
Yeah.
So you stop doing all of it.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you just do the training, which is about 45 minutes, I can fit that into my day and make that part of my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference.
I think that's so important what you touched on, where you're right. Like, let's say a diet, by a textbook definition, most diets work if they follow certain principles. But then you question yourself and you go, well, okay, if I'm going to follow this intermittent fasting, keto, vegan plan, but that doesn't fit in my lifestyle because I love breakfast foods, I love carbohydrate groups, and I love having a steak. It's like, okay, well, that diet isn't sustainable long-term for me personally. However, another type of meal plan or diet plan might work in really well for you. But then the question is, okay, after 12 weeks, after 6 months, after, you know, this phase of dieting, is that going to be a sustainable option? And it's exactly the same with exercise. You know, more often than not, challengers come to me and they go, oh, I want to train 7 days a week. I want to do 6 sessions of cardio, throw in CrossFit, F45 and weight sessions. And then I'm also playing netball 6 times a week. And you go, whoa, okay. Are you going to be able to do that forever?
Are you an elite athlete? No. Is that what you want? Unless that's what you want for your life,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like if you want to wake up
and train. I just want to be a good-looking mum in my 40s with a happy family, you know? I think I just wanted to, I want to be healthy. And if that takes you back to what do people want?
Yeah.
If they want to be that extreme, well, they probably should look at extreme sports.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Not a lifestyle. Yeah, there's a very, you know, and I just think for me, that was the wake-up call.
Yeah.
And I would say, yeah, I think that the articles in the last year, the articles have been really helpful and all the podcasts, like I actually invested some time and I don't always comment on everything in the forum as well. That's another area. Mm-hmm. I don't comment because some of my questions are already answered, but I do read through a lot of the, I go, oh yeah, what's this question? What's this answer?
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to see, I always see what everyone else says, but I always make sure that I see what the coaches have responded.
Mm-hmm.
You just incrementally learn. There's just so much you can learn and grow.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you just one day wake up and you're like, I think I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just stick with it. Yeah. So, yeah.
We're going to get you answering some of the questions on the forum soon, right?
Okay. Yeah, right. That'd be good. I care now. I feel okay. I know a little bit.
Look, let's talk about, I mean, you've spoken a little bit about them, about challenges, and you've spoken about how, you know, maybe you experienced a bit of back pain, a little bit of mindset challenges. Like, can you speak a little bit more about some other challenges that you may have had to overcome to achieve such an amazing result that you did?
Finding time in my day as a mum, it's very difficult. My husband works long hours and luckily with Corona that sort of shifted a little bit where he was working from home. But before that, he would even travel a lot. So I couldn't always find that in my mind. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find the time, right? So I'd wake up and then it was breakfast and then it was kids, run to school, then off to work, then come back, then think what's for dinner. Da, 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 da. And then by the time it was 8:30 trying to get the kids in bed, I was exhausted to think, well, I'm not going to exercise now. Mm-hmm. I'd hit the couch and watch Netflix like most other people do.
Mm-hmm.
So I really had to focus on cutting out time. So that was and probably still is a challenge for me. Like I sit down on a Sunday and I try and block out my training sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I even have like a little family meeting, like these are non-negotiables for mum. I don't want you to interrupt me. Dad, you're not going off to work at this hour. So I actually block in time and I schedule. I've learned that prepping, not just your food. I'm not a big advanced prepper. I'll boil rice and stuff. I like food relatively fresh, but with time I prep. You know, I'll look at my week, I'll look at my husband's work schedule, what my kids have got, and I sit and look at my diary and I go, right, Monday morning I've got a block and I can train from this time to that time. Mm-hmm. And then on a Wednesday, oh, there's very limited time, I won't get to the gym, so it's a home training. You know, and I just block out time, so I just try. It doesn't always go to plan, but at least I have some sort of schedule. That's the hardest thing to overcome. I don't know how many training sessions in the past I've missed because I simply the day got ahead of me.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was probably a really big struggle for me.
Because like that brings up the conversation of, I guess, priorities, right? And often we have people that say they don't have time. And it's really easy to say, oh, well, you've got to make time, right? It's really easy to make that statement. But then when we sit there and think and we go, okay, well, what are the things happening in your life? And okay, you've got work, you've got family, you've got social commitments, you know, you've got a list of priorities, what's important to you. And they're the obvious priorities that you can point your finger at. But then there's other priorities where you might not even think that it's a priority. And one example I'm going to say that you brought up was Netflix, right? So in the past, you prioritized in your evening spending time, you know, consuming entertainment, which is fine. It's okay. If that's a priority for you, okay. But then it becomes problematic when you're trying to find another priority to fit in somewhere, such as exercise, right? And you go, okay, well, where is this going to fit? Am I going to have to replace Netflix time? Am I going to replace family time? Well, no, that's a priority for me. That's a non-negotiable. Am I going to replace sleep time? I want to sleep. You know, we need to fit it in somewhere, right? So it really comes down to a question of priorities, yeah? And often we kind of view something like exercise or meal prep as something that will just fit in the day somewhere, right? Where we go, oh, I've got a busy day. I'll find time to exercise, right? But it's that change of language from I'm just going to find time wherever it fits to saying I'm actually going to make time where I go at 7 a.m. in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever works for you. This is now locked in, like what you've done in my schedule. It's like this, I've now made time. I moved some priorities around and I made time. And then you're not going to miss out that session. Or if you do miss out that session, you'd be like, okay, well, you're less likely to miss out in that session because you've locked it in. You've made time for it, right?
You can reflect what changed it. So the other thing I was going to mention on time for me, sometimes you can kill two birds with one stone because I need life to be fun. So I still get my Netflix in, but I've moved my treadmill into the lounge. So I can watch my show while I do my walk because my husband's not always home. I can't go outside always for a walk. Now it's more exciting for me to, I love outdoors and I love the scenery, but it's not always practical for me. I'm not a treadmill fan, but it's a means to an end for me. And so I thought, well, how can I make my treadmill enjoyable? I said, well, now I get to watch my show, but while I watch my show, I do my walk until I hit my 10,000 at minimum. You know, I always find I go over because I'll walk 45 minutes or 55 minutes sometimes, depending on the length of my show. And sometimes if I have, like at the gym, it's fine. But if I can't go to the gym and I do my workouts, I do similar things. And I also, like I said, I love audiobooks and I kill two birds with one stone. So while I'm reading, sometimes I listen to Audible, I'll be at the gym. I actually never train to music. I hear everyone always say they train to music. I don't. I educate my brain.
I love it.
While I train.
I love
it. Yeah, it's like the uni. My gym is my uni. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us just briefly what kind of podcasts are you listening to and what type of audiobooks you're listening to at the moment, like right now?
Like I said, one of the ones I love at the moment is, which is relevant to here, is like Atomic Habits. Which is a great, it's actually Atomic Habits. And the other one I've just started listening to is the 5 a.m. Club because that's my goal, is to become a morning person.
Yeah.
Next goal, please do, God help me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I also listen to a lot about my faith. Like I'm a Christian. So I listen to a lot of, preachers and sermons and that sort of thing, which is very motivational and it's spiritual growth. So I'm feeling that spiritual component, you know, it helps me put life in perspective of what's important and what's not. So everyone needs a grounding. And then, yeah, so I just listen to a variety. I listen to actually a lot of nutritional information and I also listen to your podcast, the actual Maxine's podcast, quite often while I'm at the gym. At least every time I see a new one come up, I'll have a listen. Yeah. So with everyone, people have some cool lives. I've had everyone from policemen to people on the mines to, you know, I was like, wow, what am I doing? I need to get out of a daycare center. But the babies are cute. But that's what I do. Every now and then I'll listen to music. Actually, when I go out in nature, I don't listen to any music. I just like to just be and just hear the sounds around me. And
I love it.
Everyone has got to find what works for them and stop comparing as well. Like someone, like I felt pressure, oh, maybe I should listen to music because, you know, I've read articles on it, like it hypes you up and then I miss out on what I love. So I just decided, you know what, I love this. I think everyone should just find what they love doing and making it part of them.
Yeah.
You know, once you start owning things as your own, people might not always agree exactly how you do it, but if you can make it your own, it's sustainable for life. And yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's so, I was going to say with like listening to things while you train, if I think of my own like fitness journey, I was very much like listen to music and then I transitioned into like podcasts and audiobooks while I was training. But then now I've actually transitioned to listening to next to nothing. So I guess like now I get into like such a zone when I'm exercising where like I don't hear anything around me. So I'll be in the gym, like no idea what music's playing. I'll have my headphones on, but it's more just to like block out like external noise or whatever. But I never really pay attention to what I'm listening to. It's almost just like ends up being noise. So yeah, it's just interesting reflection where maybe a year or two ago I was like maybe listening to podcasts and audiobooks, and now like I'm getting really focused into what I'm like trying to achieve when I'm exercising. And you're right, there's no right or wrong, and it just comes down to preference.
No.
And you might change over time. Yeah. Like I might go back to listening to audiobooks, and I might go back to listening to music, and then I might go back to listening to nothing. Is there a right and wrong? No. And that's, I think, what we learn more and more about life is there's no real right or wrong. It's not a dichotomy. It's flexible. It's dynamic. It's fluid. It moves, right?
I think you become more creative when you start realizing that your opinions and the way you do things has value as well. Like it's also value adding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there comes the confidence. Like a year or two ago, I was trying to, that's not a bad thing. Sometimes I think you should imitate people that are better than you. Mm-hmm. Until you master something, and then not always master, but you get really good at something, and then you'll start having the confidence to go, well, this I can change, and here I can tweak, and mm-hmm. I think that's where I'm getting. Like at the start, I think it's good to sometimes just go, that person has what I want, and it's imitate that for a while, mm-hmm. knowing that, you know, yeah, I think even with music, do what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. Do what makes you happy. I'm a knowledge sort of person, so I love my podcast. And like I said, in nature, though, when I go for my walks, I like just to zone out and give my brain rest. Mm. It's almost like a form of prayer or meditation, just to have nothing. Just your mind can come up. Your thoughts actually can go crazy. Like, wow, that's a great idea. I'll come up with new recipes sometimes. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I would never have thought of that if I didn't have that breather.
Yeah, so, yeah. No. Well, look, that's actually interesting because to add on to that, like lately when I walk my dog without listening to anything and I just walk by myself, right? And it's a great time just to stop and think and, you know, that concept of stop and smell the roses, right? Where you're just kind of like, yes. Just taking note, and like my dog would start like sniffing a tree and I'm just staring at the leaves of the tree and you're like, oh, it's, you know, it's a tree, it lives. I'm like, look at it go, you know. And
you look wow.
Yeah. And I've had some of the more interesting ideas from those walks where I've just been by myself. So, you know, in a way, some people are scared of that, where being alone with your own thoughts is something that is kind of fearful, right? For some people.
Yeah,
and
it's
confronting because you're like, you know, when you actually start listening to that little voice in your head, you know, that dialogue, that self-narrative in your head, that self-talk is so important. And then if you have time to sit there and think and really understand, you're like, oh, like you have these revelations and you come up with crazy ideas.
Sorry to interrupt, but you just touched on something else I do, which is self-talk, right? So it's declarations in the morning. Mm-hmm. Declarations where you start changing that negative self-talk, because I had extreme negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. And so what I say to myself now is like, you are worthy. You can do this. You're accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, today is going to be your best day yet. I look in the mirror in the morning while I brush my teeth. I have printouts on my mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say things to strengthen me, like to strengthen me as a person. Like I say things like, I'm a kind person. I'm a good person. I'm a generous person. Today I'm going to show someone generosity. And I just say things like that. So when you do eventually go out and you have that mind space where you are alone, your thought processes automatically, there's like neurological reasons for this, but your thought processes, neuroplasticity, I think, yeah. You can change negative thinking into positive thinking, which in the fitness realm, that's actually important as well, because you can train your body, but I think it would be great if you trained your mind whilst training your body, making this a habit. And maybe even before your training session, what I sometimes do if I hate exercise, I will say to myself, I love exercise. Mm-hmm. This makes me feel so good. And I'm not feeling like I'm going, but I will read out a sentence, my little declaration. I love training. This is great. I look forward to this. And my brain will say to me, you liar. What are you saying to yourself? But I tell you, do it over and over and over again. Your brain starts believing.
Yeah.
So it's so good.
You almost sell it to yourself and you change that default.
You sell, it's like an ad to yourself. So everyone, start selling yourself the things you want because you can do it.
Yeah.
Change your mind.
I'll give you a little life hack. If you go before your training session and you tell yourself you are strong, I guarantee you'll get a PB. So if you go into your session, you're like, I am strong, I'm a warrior, I am fit, I'm, you know, everything. And you just hype yourself up. You're like, yes. And, you know, that deadlift, you'll punish it. You know, that squat, you'll punish it.
We should do a declaration page for everyone to put on their mirrors.
Yeah.
This is your morning declaration.
It's like declarations sometimes called affirmations, you know, used.
Affirmation. Maybe it's my South African accent.
It's fine. But yeah, it's a great spot to have it on your mirror because you see it, or somewhere where you see it every day. So if you have like a diary for work or a journal or a computer screen, like my computer screen is a picture of Arnold in like the 1980s and it's just Conker.
It's in my gym. I'll send you a photo.
That's my wallpaper on my computer. So every time I open up my computer, and you know, me being a classic millennial, I'm on my computer a lot. You know, I just constantly see Conker, Conker, Conker. And you know what that keeps putting in my head. It's like everything I do, I'm like, oh, I'm not just doing it, I'm conquering it, right? So I think that's so important for everything you do, right? But look, Colleen, we've spoken about lots of different things. And I guess now, I just want to finish up with advice. So, you know, if someone came up to you and they saw the transformation that you made and they want to get fit and healthy, or they're about to start the Maxine Challenge, what advice would you give somebody?
Well, I pretty much invite everyone to do the Maxine. So you've probably got half my church in the group already. There's a lot of us in there. And there's a few doing this challenge. I even have my boss doing this challenge, which is great.
That's awesome.
But advice to someone who's already started, so obviously someone that's going to press play on this podcast, is you're here to try this challenge. Like, you may think you're an expert, you may be an expert, you may have a degree, I don't know. But just follow the system, eat the food and do the training. Don't go extreme. I say, be consistent. Just make your habits of every day be consistent and eat the food. And here's another one. If you fall off the wagon, which I am notorious for in my previous challenges, the last one I was better at it, but I have fallen off the wagon a lot. Don't throw in the towel. There's been times where I went to a wedding and it was the one day wedding turned into a weekend. And that was actually a September challenge. I went to two weddings. One was a week in Africa. And I tell you right now, I was having the time of my life. The max competition was in the back of my mind, but I still got incredible results just because I came back and I didn't quit. So don't quit. If you make a mistake or you eat the wrong meal or you skipped a couple of training sessions, just start with the next meal. Just go, you know what? This meal is going to be a good meal. Or I'm going back to the gym today. Just start again. Don't throw in the towel, because otherwise you're just putting it off for another 12 weeks. And that never comes. Tomorrow never comes. Today is the moment. And consistency. So my two tips. Pick back up. If you made a mistake, we all do. We're all humans. And I know there's super people out there, which I admire. I'm not one of them. I fall off the wagon. I have a sweet tooth. If they bring cake into my office, I'm not always as strong as some of the other wonderful challenges. But I just dust myself off and go again. And consistency, make it a habit, like do something every day. I have something, if I can't train, my minimum standard is I must do 10,000 steps. If I can't train, if I can't get to the gym, sometimes I will do, right, if I want to watch my Netflix show then, I have to do air squats, I have to do 10 squats, 10 push-ups and 10 sit-ups, and then I can press play. And that's something, it's better than nothing. It still creates that habit, that neuro pathway. So that would be my advice. Is don't quit and keep going.
Love it. Love it. Quality advice. Colleen, I just want to take a moment to thank you so much for being part of the Challenge podcast. And I'm sure that you will continue to be a role model and inspiration to so many people within your circles, such as your church group and your social circles, as well as our online communities. And for that, Colleen, I thank you so much for being part of what we do.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, Steve. And thank you to everyone everyone in the back scenes. They must be putting in a lot of work, and it's a great competition. And yeah, I'm just so grateful it exists. Don't ever let it go away. It's become part of my life. So yeah. I'm here for a long time.
Beautiful. So good. Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.